It's time for Blindly Obvious.
If doing the right thing were easy, fun, rewarding, everyone would do it, but it's not. We so far have gone to great lengths to talk about a very uncomfortable subject, a subject most would rather pretend doesn't exist. That would be far easier. But even still, as difficult as this was, we have done the easy part. We have named what's wrong. The hard part is identifying what we must do to fix it. Few have the stomach to discuss the issues we already have, but even fewer have the heart to wade through the mess and fix it. I hope this podcast becomes a place of resonation for us all, where we not only grapple with what is before us, but to seize a preferred outcome that benefits us all. It's like the saying I once heard in a movie line, fate rarely calls upon us at a time of our choosing. God is calling to his people. Will we answer?
The country belongs to the people.
Right.
You have a right. It's called redress.
How about this? Responsibility.
And responsibility. And that's the other thing we don't discuss, is that you are not entitled to the rights if you aren't willing to take the responsibility that belongs with those rights.
Right.
Who was it, Benjamin Franklin?
Rights aren't just handed out for free.
Was it Benjamin Franklin that said, that lady asked him, is this a republic? And he said, yes, it is, ma'am, if you can keep it.
And that right there is the secret of what needs to happen. People need to understand. You need to go to city council. You need to go to the mayor's office. You need to go to the county commissioners. And you need to express your displeasure. And you don't have to be nasty about it. But if you have your facts, you're going to catch them.
And when you come prepared and speak in a civil manner,
yes,
you can't be ignored. Because, I mean, they could ignore you, but then all of the, let's be fair, most people in general, although they may be busy, they're reasonable, right?
Yes.
So if they're sitting in the crowd and they're watching them just clearly ignore somebody who's making a well-mannered and well-addressed presentation, they're instantly going to know, like, well, they got something to hide.
They will try to gin up your emotions because it's a distraction. They don't want, and that to me is, I love it. Because then if you get them upset, then you know you've hit the mark.
Sure. Yep. But you're saying local, you got to get involved locally.
Locally, that's where it all starts. That's where it's all going to change. Because if we stand up locally and if we're strong locally, then we can project that strength to the next county and the next county.
And then it, that then it's can our be state projecting
then it.
It
can be projected to the state and say, we aren't happy with what you're doing. We want changes.
I'm glad I heard you say that, because I'm kind of one of those scorched earth kind of people. I see. We've been fighting over state rights and federal government since the Civil War. People don't realize that, but it's been going on. There's always been overreach. And I think that that's not going to discontinue. But what we've got to do is by you being involved locally, what you're doing is you're not only strengthening your community, you're strengthening your state.
Hmm.
It's a progression. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you've got a strong state,
right,
then look what happens federally.
Right. Right.
Well, and I mean, you have, like you said earlier, Donald Trump said, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm standing in their way. He's one dude. I mean, you can't ask him to be a superhero. He's just a guy who's pointing you in a direction of like, hey, look, that's what I want you to do, is look and reclaim the power that's been given to you.
Exactly. That's right.
Okay. Yes. So we've got something to do. It's not just vote. It's get involved. Get involved. But to do that, you got to educate yourself. You can't go in there and say, I feel.
Well, and it was
But see, that's been allowed. The federal government encourages feelings. Why? Because they can be controlled. They can be ginned
steered
up. It distracts from everything else.
Fear this, fear that.
Well, why do you think that absolutely so many people took...
Mm-hmm. Well, they were afraid.
Because they were so afraid of this horrible, horrible thing that they knew nothing about, but the government knew everything about it.
That's kind of maybe the point I was trying to make earlier with the biblical comparison, is that obviously the Bible tells us over and over again, do not fear. And so many of us, myself included, I actually went the opposite direction. I kind of had a return to God in 2020. But before that, I was just kind of doing my own thing. And I think that's where many people were stuck at during that time, was they were doing their own thing. They had forgotten
God. You said stuck. They got stuck.
They did get stuck, man. Everybody's stuck at home. Oh, I got it now. All right. Didn't even realize my own brilliance. But I think, you know, it was in, I think, 1952 or 1953, Nikita Khrushchev, one of the most popular communists of the modern era, said that we will run the United States one day and we will take it over without ever firing a shot.
Isn't Kamala's dad a communist?
He's a Marxist. He teaches Marxist economics, and that's a real eye-opener, too, if you want to know about it.
Yeah, where do you think that tax policy comes from?
Well, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for me to introduce this book. It is brilliant. It's called Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. It was written by a Chinese girl who lived through the Chinese Cultural Revolution. She was able to escape and come to America, and she loves America. And she wrote this book because she said, "Fellow Americans, I see the parallels from what I experienced as in China during Mao Zedong's rule and how he killed millions of Chinese so that he could be in total control. And I see those same parallels in America.
We're walking down the same road.
We are walking down the same path." And she put this book out, and Marxism seems to be the most popular form of communism. Communism is communism, but there are Marxism, fascism, whatever. Marxism seems to be the most popular because it allows capitalism, but capitalism that is controlled by the government.
It's like monopoly capitalism, pretty much.
Yeah. So I would recommend everybody read this book because it's an eye-opener, it's an easy read, but it tells you so much.
That's what people really need, because I think so many of us have had it so good here for so long. It's hard to, you see many of the people who come from these situations that come here and they say, you know, you guys are heading in the wrong direction, or like, you're going to end up, you know, where I came here to get away from what I just came from, and it's here it is following me.
That happened in 2020. It was Russians, it was Ukrainians, it was Cubans, it was Venezuelans. They were all in America, and they're saying, stop, right. You're heading toward communism.
Let me appeal to our listener again, because I know we're preaching to the choir to some people, but to some of those who are sitting here, again, going 200 miles an hour, think of all this 12 to 20 million immigrants who are coming into our country fleeing something. Understand something. The very thing that Kamala is promising you is communism. That's what these people are running here from. If communism is so great,
why would you run from it?
Why are they coming here?
Hmm.
They're Good trying, point. Yeah, Good they're point. Trying to create a system.
Right.
We're the last safe place to run.
And that's what Xi Van Fleet in Mao's America said. Where are we going to go if America falls?
The communists intend to take it.
That's what I was just going to say, is as much as we are the last safe place to run, we are also the last great place to destroy.
I understand that you're stretched. I understand you're stressed. I understand you need help. But I'm telling you that the people promising you help mean to enslave you.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's exactly what's going to happen.
I would say,
but we need to remember too that a vast majority of the illegals that are in our country are not here. They're here by invitation. Joe Biden, when he was running for election in 2020,
he told him come.
He
come
told
now.
Him to come.
Come
he
now.
Said, if you want to come here, come, and I will open the border. And so, what did we get? We got
emptied prisons.
We got empty prisons. We've got insane people. Mm-hmm. But we also have gotten military age yes. men ready to fight.
Yes.
And they have no allegiance to America.
Not at all.
No.
No. In fact, if they declared martial law and they were to try and, I think they're even discussing having illegals serve in our military, but that's a whole other service consideration. But
well, remember what Barack Obama said, mm-hmm. what our country needs or what our government needs is a militia that's as big as the military,
as powerful
and as well equipped. Mm-hmm. Now, why would we need, we have militias in each state. Why would we need a federal government militia unless it is to use against the people?
I've got a theory, and I know this is, it's a whole nother issue. I think the whole reason why there was such a campaign by the federal government to defund the police, and I know that it's like federal, what we talk, let me tell you something. These low IQ people who are out there burning things down the street who want to defund the police, they're given the t-shirts, the signs, the agenda. And yes, it's a federal policy.
The pallets of bricks dropped off in the street.
The reason they want to defund the police is because they want the people in those cities, when it's being burned, to cry out to the federal government to do something.
We need help.
And they will. They're going to federalize the police.
Also, I think in, you know, as the movement of defund the police in general, our small communities across the country, your police force are local people who live within your community. Like, you know these people, right? Like, so you have you kind of have a rapport, a relationship with them. If they can remove that barrier, they can, a whole new group of people is able to flow in that could care less about you because they don't know you.
Okay, you need to remember that the local police report to the mayor. The mayor controls them. So
yes, give us that line that you said, you were telling me on the phone that you said at the, when you were giving your presentation, that I was like, oh, regarding the mayor.
The mayor was unhappy with me, and she basically said, you mean the one about the illegals have the same rights as the citizens?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the gallery spoke up
and
restate
said, restate the whole thing. Just walk us through it real fast what happened.
Well, I had given my presentation, and then the mayor wanted to ask me a question. So I looked at her and said, okay, the question. And she, instead of asking me a question, she started preaching at me as to what, and waving her finger at me as to what she could do, what she couldn't do, what the federal government was doing. And they have no, the city has no control over what the federal government has to do. And a couple of times I tried to interject because I'd heard this before many, many times. And she'd wave her finger and say, I'm speaking.
Oh, she gave you the Kamala.
Yeah, yeah. Does that seem familiar? Finally, when she stopped, I responded to some of the things she said, and she goes, the undocumented people in this community have the same rights as citizens.
Oops, that was a quiet part out loud.
And I said, no, they don't. And the people in the gallery behind me spoke up and said, no, they don't. The president of the city council had to hammer, quiet, order. Now, this is dangerous. If you've got elected officials that think that illegal people have the same rights as you as a citizen, it's a problem.
They have more rights.
Well, that's it. They do have more rights because they're getting subsidized. They're getting money every day of the week.
Well, how you and I actually got linked up.
You got to pay your bills.
A familiar contact was how this all got started was I actually wrote the mayor and asked about the situation. And at first we wrote back and forth and she's like, oh, I'm totally open to any potential solutions. And she said they weren't taking any money from anyone. Nobody involved with the administration was taking any money from anybody. She wasn't. City council wasn't. You know, she asked for some solutions. And I was like, hey, I know this is a difficult position to be in, right? Like, you probably are under some pressure from the federal government. I don't disagree with that. But like, you're in charge of our community and people are not happy with what's going on. They'd like to see some change. Like, I think we got to take a difficult stand and say, we don't have the infrastructure capabilities or the capacity to keep taking on all of these people and allowing them to fill up all the hotels and live, you know what I mean? Just walking down the streets all day. She didn't really like that idea. Didn't really seem willing to, talk about any form of hey, maybe we could do that. We could maybe, find a way to say we're not going to take any more people. She said, everybody here we're trying to be welcome, but we're trying to keep it on the down low so more people don't come. Well, don't you think by the lack of doing anything about it, the word's going to get out from these people to other people that they know who are traveling to come here because they don't do anything about it?
They wouldn't use their free telephone.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
Well, so in closing, I asked her to, you know, I appreciated that she was always respectful to me in the email conversation. So, you know, I appreciate that. And I hope I was the same with her. And I asked her to state for the record that she hasn't received or is currently receiving any funding from accepting immigrants, or that the city isn't, or that anyone involved in the administration or the city council is not accepting, and they haven't,
have not accepted.
Yes, or have not accepted, and they are not signing off or have not signed off on bringing anyone here. And you know what she said?
Nothing.
That's it. Nothing.
Nothing.
I love that question. You covered that really well.
Okay, so let's land this plane. Vote, but get involved. Get informed.
Exactly. Get informed and don't be afraid. There are so many people out here that will back you if you stand up. You need to speak up if things are not going the way you think they should, and they aren't, because we have a process for people to come to this country.
Yep.
We do not want people that do not want to assimilate. And I can't emphasize that more. Our immigration law is based on the ultimate goal of letting somebody immigrate here, becoming a citizen, and assimilating. And the pledge that they take has to do with accepting America and rejecting the country that they came from.
Yeah, like you want to come to our country, you need to accept our country.
Not your food, not your, you know, your history or anything else like that. But you have to assimilate to the American culture.
Kind of put some bookends on this. We told our boys, if you're ever being kidnapped, scream. And I understand that in that moment you're afraid because the kidnapper has probably said some horrible threats.
Yep.
They're going to hurt you if you speak out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But listen, if they get you in that car,
you're done.
They're going to hurt you. They intend to hurt you anyway. So your best defense in that moment is to scream and be heard by others around you that they can support you and come to your aid. We're being kidnapped. And I understand it's scary because the kidnappers are threatening us in many ways.
And they're criminals.
But if we don't get loud, they're going to kidnap you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to hurt you anyway.
100%. I think if we all choose to just use our words, send an email, send a letter. I know that as you think, all by myself, that's not going to make any difference. But I'm telling you, if you're feeling that way, just stop and think, like, you're probably not alone, right? There's probably lots of people feeling like you. So if you do your part, send one. The next person sends one. All of a sudden, there's a stack of emails. There's a stack of letters. We will not be ignored as a collective. It's not going to happen.
We the people.
Exactly. We the
people. Right. And I still want to go back to the legality, because Joe Biden issued an executive order to let these people come in. He does not have the authority to do that. He is the executive branch. We have a law that was passed by our Congress. The only way that law can be deleted, changed, modified, whatever, is if Congress does it. So what Joe Biden is doing by letting these people come in here, he is breaking the law.
Quick question. Yes. Does that change if there's any, like, if there's a state of emergency declared or a martial law declared, would that law be out the window at that point?
Well, that's
suspended.
Yes, there we go. Suspended. That's the word I was looking for.
Because whenever they go into martial law, that means that he then becomes the commander in chief. He is not the commander in chief unless there's a war.
Well,
remember,
they declared a war on terror, and we've been in we're in a forever war ever since that non-patriot act came into play. Right. I say non-patriot because it's not patriotic.
It was meant
to steal our country.
I would just like to read something that I came across. It's entitled, Why Mass Deportation Must Happen. And this was written by Lieutenant Colonel Ricardo Bossi, who is in Special Ops in Australia. They are going through the same thing that we're going through, and this is what he had to say. The globalist cabal has used war and mass migration to destabilize countries around the world. You cannot have masses of people whose belief systems are antithetical, incompatible, to yours and who desire to destroy you. The illegal alien has a home of their own. They have their own land. They have their own language. They have their own culture. They have their own history. They have their own faith. They cannot come to America and maintain all of those things without destroying America first. And this is his message. He said, message to the illegals, go back to your nation, be proud of that nation, rebuild that nation, and keep your culture in your nation.
I love what he just said. I love that. But because they've been invited here and are being funded and provided for, that's why their whole mantra is they've been given, burn it down. They mean to not come in peace. Well, they mean to take our culture. They mean to take our country. They mean complete
change. That's the intent. Change. That is the intent. However, remember, people, we have the Second Amendment, and if the people stand up, they will be afraid of the people.
Yeah, the First Amendment is protected by the Second. Well, actually, all of them are protected by the Second.
Personally, hope it does not come to that. I hope it stays a civil, almost a war of words. Hopefully, we've moved beyond the point of kinetic interactions.
We really don't understand the Founding Fathers' understanding about that whole Tree of Liberty thing, and it needs water sometimes.
I am a firm believer that our Founding Fathers were divinely inspired. They had a wisdom and a knowledge and an education and a belief system that is unreal, and I've never met anybody in my entire lifetime that can even shine a light on that type of...
I think... Was it you, Jeff, that was telling me a lot of these guys were, like, young?
Yeah.
And I was like, really? Like, it was kind of mind-blowing to think of, like you just said, Sharon, the wisdom that these people had.
Well, and they were educated differently. They were educated with what is called classical liberal education.
We talked about this in a podcast.
So. Yeah. That is, they were educated that way. And that gives true you education. A broad, they knew Greek, they knew Roman. They were very broadly. And it's interesting that now that we're talking about education, I just want to throw something in here. When I was, I took the 12-week Constitution course, which I want to take again because it's just fabulous.
Where'd you take that at?
A gal by the name, yes, it was sponsored by the Church of the Nazarene.
Okay.
And it was a 12-week course.
How long, how often do they do that? I'll take it too.
She usually comes here once, maybe twice a year. Lisa Snaffer is from Troy, Ohio, I believe.
Okay.
That is another way that you can
become informed.
Yeah, become informed is to take a Constitution course. And I personally would recommend that anybody that wants to run for office has to take a Constitution course.
So you know what you're swearing an oath to.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't. I mean, that is sad that you laughed at that because...
I'm laughing because I don't want to cry. It's like, what's wrong with you people?
Yeah.
And then the rest of us are voting them in.
The Constitution of the United States, and they put their hand on the Bible. And before the hand is even off the Bible, they got things going through their head that it's going to be totally unconstitutional.
Closing thoughts.
Get involved. There's more people out there that are like you, that think like you, that love America, believe in patriotism.
We can fix this.
Yes, we can, and we need to pull together. And this has nothing to do with whether you're black, white, yellow, purple, green, whatever your sex preference is. That has nothing to do with it. This is our country, and it needs to be saved, and it's our responsibility.
If you want to stay America, we must Americans get involved.
Well, Sharon, thank you very much for coming on. It was an honor to have you.
Hey, and thank with
each,
you guys.
Each guest we have, usually Jeff prays for him as we head out. And thanks again.
God, we are so thankful for the people you put in our lives, the kindred spirits, as we find that there's a common mission, and it's your mission. And as Jesus taught us to pray, your will and your kingdom come. And I pray you'd help all of us to get on board with that, because only good things come if we are pursuing those things. Thank you for sharing. I pray that you give her strength, and may, even in this podcast, we come alongside her and give her a louder platform to be heard as she warns of what is coming if we do not make a change. Help us make that change. It's our prayer in Jesus' name.
Amen. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.